From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Christian philosopher Douglas Grotheis, author of Fire in the Streets, How You Can Confidently Respond to Incendiary Cultural Topics. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. This is a podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to your earbuds. And we have another treat, a guest that I've had on before, but he's one that I think ought to be on continuously, just as he is a continuous contributor to the Christian Research Journal. He's making an incredible impact on the lives of students, but more broadly, people in cultures around the world through his writings. And I'm really excited about the book that we want to focus in on today. It's a book titled Fire in the Streets, How You Can Confidently Respond to Incendiary Cultural Topics. My guest is Douglas Grotheis. And before I formally introduce him on the podcast today, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from the front flap of the book. It starts out with these words: society appears to be burning down around us. A dangerous, a radical philosophy lurks behind the revolutionary movements that are even now convulsing America. And it has quietly made its way into almost every institution. I mean, that in itself is going to be part of the discussion today. Every institution, even our churches. In this compelling and accessible book, and I can guarantee you it is both compelling and accessible, Christian philosopher Douglas Grotheis reveals the many faces of critical theory. And in the process, he equips believers to recognize and confront critical theory. Well, what are the many faces? Well, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, critical race theory, social justice. The list of pathologies goes on. All are forms of a cultural Marxism that divides society into oppressors and the oppressed, depicting American history as a 400-year pageant of injustice. It is an ideology as toxic as it is false. And I think those two paragraphs in and of themselves are warrant to get this book. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Douglas Grotheis, who is the author of this incredible resource, is a professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. He's an author of many books, including the book we're talking about right now. He's widely published in both scholarly and popular journals. I think I mentioned he's a frequent contributor to the Christian Research Journal. And this book is a must read because it's dealing with an ideology that has the power to burn down a culture that has made an impact around the world. This is about rescuing Western civilization. Doug, I'm delighted to have you on Hank Unplugged today.
Well, thank you. Happy to be back. You know, speaking of the Christian Research Journal, our departed friend Elliot Miller said that besides you, I had written more articles for the Christian Research Journal than anybody else. That was probably 15 years ago when he said that. So we've had a long standing relationship going way back to the Walter Martin days. So I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, your contributions have been immense. I want to start this podcast by asking a basic question. I think as much as we've talked about critical theory in America over the last few years, a lot of people don't have a handle on exactly what critical theory is, what it represents, and the threat that it is to Western civilization.
Right. It sounds good if you compare it to critical thinking. We should be critical thinkers. We should test truth claims through logic and evidence. We should be careful to not fall for logical fallacies or ideological platitudes and so on. However, the word critical theory ultimately goes back to Marxism. So Marx and Engels developed their revolutionary philosophy in the mid to late 19th century, and they believed that society was incessantly one of economic conflict, where the owners are oppressing and exploiting the workers. And eventually this would lead to a revolution in which the workers would overthrow the systems of power and create what was called a dictatorship of the proletariat. And eventually this would pass away and there would be no class divisions because the engine of oppression would be gone, namely private property and profit making. Now, if you fast forward sometime to Frankfurt, Germany in the 20s and 30s, there were a group of Marxists, and everyone I'm talking about is an atheist. Marx and Engels said the critique of religion is the beginning of all social critique. They were ardent, adamant atheists and opponents of all religion, particularly Christianity. But if you fast forward to about the late 20s and 30s in Frankfurt, Germany, you had thinkers like Herbert Marcuse and Max Horkheimer, Eric Fromm, and others. And they realized that Marx and Engels' predictions had not come true, that the working class had not fomented revolution from the bottom up to overthrow the tyrannical landlords. There had been revolutionary and socialist activity, but it really didn't play out according to the Marxist account of things. So they said, well, we have to remain Marxists. We will remain atheists, but we need to deepen the critique. We need to go beyond economic exploitation and talk about cultural exploitation. So critical theory was developed as a type of updating Marxism. You can call it cultural Marxism or neo-Marxism. And people like Herbert Marcuse and others said that the level of oppression is far deeper than just property and profit. So if you are a person of color, you are intrinsically oppressed by any Western sort of democratic system. And if you are a person who is not of the sexual majorities, if you're a sexual minority, then you are oppressed also. So basically the idea was, let's broaden the net and talk not just about people who don't make a lot of money, the workers, but let's talk about those who are not conforming to typical mores of society about gender, and let's extend it also to people of color. And the idea is that the white, to use a more modern term, heteronormative majority, are oppressing everyone else simply by virtue of being part of this group. So critical theory deals with groups. It doesn't deal with individuals as having unique value in the sight of God. That's a Christian view, and you cannot support that outside of a Christian or Jewish worldview. And remember, we're talking about atheists. So they see what they call injustice in society, and some of what they point out is right, but they don't understand the human condition, and they don't understand the strengths of a constitutional republic as we have in the United States. So what you saw in the summer of 2020 with the George Floyd riots was the idea that America is fundamentally corrupt and it has to be torn down, even burned down, even literally burned down. And in the book, I quote an author who was interviewed on National Public Radio by the name of Vicky Osterweil. She wrote a book called In Defense of Looting. When I use the word looting, I mean the mass expropriation of property, mass shoplifting during a moment of upheaval or riot. That's the thing I'm defending. She says this on National Public Radio, which is supported by our tax dollars, and she was not given any challenge by the host. So the idea is that the whole structure of society is oppressive. wealth is concentrated in white males mostly. And so if you don't have a great concentration of wealth, especially if you're poorer or you're a person of color, female, whatever, then you have a right to expropriate what has been taken from you. So there's no sense of property rights, no sense that the structures of American civilization can accommodate social change, such as the philosophy of the Declaration of Independence, that God has given us inalienable rights, such as the First Amendment, that we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, assembly, and so on. They really do want to fundamentally transform America because it is intrinsically and inexorably oppressive. So the term you hear is systemic racism. So I have a whole chapter on that in the book.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Douglas Grotheis.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip www.theChristianResearch.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Douglas Grotheis, in their conversation.
I kind of wanted to get into the R in CRT. So you have CT, then you have critical race theory. Maybe at a very basic level, define what the Marxists mean by race as opposed to a Christian talking about race.
Right. Well, critical theory somewhere along the line became critical race theory. The assumptions are still Marxist and still errant. But you have people like Derrick Bell, the legal scholar, who is an influence on Barack Obama, and Kimberly Crenshaw and others developing the racial aspect of it. But it's still essentially Marxist. So about 2 years ago, one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter came on YouTube and did a video, and she said, "We are trained Marxists." Now you might be thinking, what does that mean, trained Marxist? Would someone admit being an untrained Marxist? What she means is we're activists, we're revolutionaries. We want to bring down the whole system, right? So the idea is that if you are Black, you are oppressed. If you are Latino, Latina, you are oppressed. There's this general category of people of color are oppressed simply by being who they are. So it's neo-Marxism or cultural Marxism with a very strong racial component added to the economic component. And the Marxists, ever since day one, have tried to enlist disenfranchised minorities. The Communist Party, for decades and decades, tried to enlist African Americans to their cause in the United States and pretty much failed. But they're looking for people who are discontent, maybe haven't done that well in society, and they capitalize on resentment and envy and a fix that seems just and seems right, which is not a fix at all, which is to burn down the system, destroy private property, destroy the profit motive, have everything controlled by the state, who will equitably bring about social peace and equality and so on. And where Marxism has taken hold around the world, it never has done that. Let's think of the Soviet Union and Lenin's use of Marxism and the use of Marxism by Mao Zedong in China or Pol Pot in Cambodia or the Castros in Cuba or what's going on now in Venezuela. Marxism never ennobles or empowers people. It oppresses people. In fact, it tends to kill people. Some estimate that 100 million people were killed by their own civil governments in the 20th century through Marxism. 100 million. That's in the Black Book of Communism that came out about 20 years ago. Now, why is that? It's because there's no God. It's a thoroughly godless worldview. So there's no fear of God. So what matters is political revolution and this idea of some future utopia. So if you're not with the revolutionary vanguard, that is, if you're not one of the trained Marxists, then you suffer from what they call false consciousness. You don't understand the world, and you can't be talked out of your viewpoint. You have to be silenced. To use our language now, you have to be canceled. But cancellation can get very serious in terms of imprisonment, even in terms of execution. So it is not the American ideal of a marketplace of ideas. However imperfectly we work that out in our history, we have the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, all right? Critical race theory does not hold to that as an ideal. In fact, it thinks that's a fraud. That's a joke, because the people that wrote the Declaration of Independence and wrote the Constitution were white slave owners. So that in itself just discredits the whole thing as a farce, which it does not, because what they wrote was generally true and significant. And sometimes people can write better than they live. Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, was conflicted about slavery. In many ways, he wanted to free slaves, but there are a lot of historical pressures on him. And
a lot of political pressures, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what critical race theory does is it gives a storyline for America, race, economics, and justice. It's pretty simplistic. It's easy to understand. And if you understand it, you get angry, especially if you are a person of color. But even if you're a white person, a lot of what drives all this is what the Black historian Shelby Steele calls white guilt. A lot of liberal white folks just feel guilty by virtue of being white. They've been the recipients of unjust privilege and benefits. And so they want to radically rearrange society, destroy the free market, take away freedom of speech in order to empower those who have supposedly been systemically oppressed. And my basic vision in this book is that because of the fall, human beings do exploit each other, and racism exists because of the fall. There's exactly one human race. God made everyone from one man. There's one God, one human race, two genders. We're all fallen, one savior. Let's do the math on these things, all right? So there's not a multiplicity of races. There's one race with different histories, different backgrounds, different nations of origin and all these things. And so a Christian view says that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. So we bear unique, irreducible value. We have a philosophical reason to hold that. And we also believe that every human being is selfish and sinful. So people will gain for themselves and people like them unjust power. But in the United States, we have a history of addressing these things. Think of the sad situation in the Civil War. We had about 250,000 Union troops died to free the slaves in the Civil War. Think of the civil rights movement to deal with the inequities of the Jim Crow period. And think of the betterment of people of color in the United States. We had an African-American president for two terms. Whether you liked him or not, the fact that he was elected, I think, was very significant. So the Black Lives Matter people say things like the civil rights movement was really a sham. It didn't accomplish very much that was good at all. People like Derrick Bell will say that. So critical race theory, Black Lives Matter people will say it's not radical enough. So you see, Martin Luther King believed in American ideals. When he spoke at the Capitol in 1963 or four, he talked about the magnificent documents of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And he said, we're here to hold America accountable to the ideals of these documents. He didn't say burn it down. He didn't say the system is corrupt. He didn't say America is based on slavery, so we have to destroy it and start over again. He was trying to reclaim the brilliance of these American founding principles. But don't be deceived. The people who are animated by critical race theory, the Black Lives Matter people, the Antifa people, do not hold that at all.
I think it's correct to say that Marx coined the word capitalism. Given the fact that we are intrinsically selfish, we're sinful, why is capitalism the right way to go? Why did Marx coin this in a pejorative sense? And we're talking about it in a positive sense, particularly if you add the word Christian capitalism, responsibility associated with wealth.
Right. I believe Marx did coin that term. And I prefer to use the word free enterprise or the free market system. For example, when AOC was asked why she was a socialist, she said, well, just think of the words. Capitalism is about money. It's about greed. It's about acquisitiveness. And socialism is about being social and loving people. So we got to go a little deeper than that. The free market is based on the assumption that human beings should have private property, and that there's such a thing as property rights, and that the best economic arrangement is one of generally free exchange among consenting parties. Now, in a fallen world, that's not going to work out perfectly, of course. However, one of the ingenious aspects of the free market, as Adam Smith pointed out, is that even when people are selfish, they often supply goods and services to others anyway. So let's say someone like Bill Gates did everything he did for selfish reasons. I'm not saying he did. Still, look at the products that he produced, the jobs he produced, the opportunities he produced. The problem with socialism is it concentrates political and economic power in the state, and the state has a monopoly on legitimate violence. So the state can say, give us this much tax money. And you can't say, I'm sorry, I don't feel like it today. The state can conscript you into military service. The state can arrest you. The state can come in and take your documents, right? So when you start to concentrate economic power in the state, it always limits liberties. And moreover, it's not an efficient system for the exchange of goods and services. We need price mechanisms in order to eliminate scarcity and so on. So on paper, it just sounds so good. Well, so many people are disadvantaged by the greedy capitalist system. So we need to adjust everything to become more equitable. And I'd say, well, how are you going to do that exactly? And how has that fared in other countries around the world? And what is the dark side of all this?
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Douglas Grotheis.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Life matters more. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.